Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
I want to talk to you today about the purpose of Christmas. The purpose of Christmas. And you know, I heard the other day that a person, they wanted to find out what God was like. They wanted to find out what God was like. So what they did was they Googled it. And how many of you know, if you want to know what God's like, don't Google it. Come on, somebody. If you want to know what God's like, don't ask a sinner. Don't ask a carnal Christian. Don't ask the media. And definitely don't Google it if you want to know what God is like. And he said that he Googled it, what is God like? And if I'm lying, I'm frying. He said 433 million web pages came up on Google. 433 million web pages came up on Google with people's own interpretation of what God is really like. I'm going to tell you, my brother and sister and my newfound friend, if I went to the world to find out what God is like, if I went to man, if I went to tradition, if I went to the media, if I went to our culture, then I wouldn't be in church today. I wouldn't be serving God today. If I went to religion, if I just went to religious people, and sometimes religious people can really be judgmental and critical and hard, am I right? If I went to churchy religious people to find out what God was like, I promise you, I wouldn't be in the ministry today. There's no way I'd be in the ministry. If I asked man, if I asked religious people, if I asked the world, if I asked our culture, what do you think God is like? And you check it out, you Google it, and I tell you what, you'll be amazed at all the different interpretations of human beings, of their definition of what God is like. Well, if you really want to know what God is like, that's what Christmas is all about. The purpose of Christmas. I want to give you 3 points if you're a note taker. The purpose of Christmas, Jesus came. You realize Jesus, he was in heaven before he came to earth. You do realize that he took on the form of a human being. He was all God and all man. We call him Jesus Christ, am I right? Jesus was a secular, a very common name of that day. It would be like Joshua, Jesus, but Christ meant anointed. So the very term Jesus Christ, it means he was all man, Jesus, and he was all God, Christ. And he left heaven to come to earth. He took on the form of a human being. Actually, God came to earth. Why would he do that? Why would Jesus leave heaven and take on the form of a human being? You see, why did he come as a baby? Because we're not afraid of babies. He came as a baby instead of a ruler and a dictator because that would scare us. He didn't come to scare us. He came to save us. He came to bring us eternal life, freedom, and purpose in our life. So don't go to Google and don't go to the internet and don't go to a disgruntled Christian and don't go to a carnal Christian. Don't go to a sinner or the world to ask them, what do you think God is really like? No, my brother and sister, newfound friend, you want to look at the Word of God and you want to look at the life of Christ to find out what God is really like. Didn't Jesus say, it's in the Bible, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What was he saying? He was saying he's a perfect image, an imprint, an expression of what God is like. Pastor, I really couldn't serve a God. I'm here today. I was forced to be here. I didn't want to be here. I was drugged here. Actually, I came for the free donuts and hot cocoa and the jazz music and Charlie Brown. But I'm enduring, and I couldn't put my faith in a God I can't see. Well, you know what? Jesus came so you could see him. Because he said, if you look at him, you'll see God. Well, Pastor, yeah, but I can't see Jesus. Oh, yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. No, Pastor. He was born 2,000 years ago, and he lived for 33 years, and I heard he died on a cross. I don't know what happened after that. How am I going to know him? The Bible says you'll find Jesus in the Scriptures. That's what it says. It says, search the Scriptures. You got to have the initiative enough to even want to know God. You got to have the drive enough to realize I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, and my life needs to change, so I'm going to check this out. You know, that's when my life changed. It really did. You know, I gave my life to Christ when I was 11 years old at an Assembly of God church in Iowa. Gave my life to the Lord then. But I'm going to be honest with you. It wasn't really until I got out of high school, Kim and I got married, and I started searching. I needed a change in my life. And when I began to search for myself, the Bible says, taste and see. You know, somebody can tell you about apple pie, or somebody can tell you, about potato, baked potato, sweet potato. Y'all know, you got the interpretation, didn't you? Sweet potato pie. But we can hear other people talk about it, but until we taste it for we won't know. I want to challenge you today that if you don't know God, why don't you just begin this Christmas to have a relationship with God? It's when I began to search the Scriptures. Kim and I, we got married, and we were together for a couple years, couldn't stand each other, loved each other, but couldn't stand each other. And I had everything the world had to offer, I thought, but I was unhappy, unfulfilled, and I'm a Christian. And I was unhappy, unfulfilled, dissatisfied, angry at the world, and I'm a Christian. So I began to search the Scriptures for myself, and I found out that God was a little different than what some people had told me. That God was a good God. That God was for me. That God wasn't against me. That God forgave me. That God accepted me as I am. He didn't want me, to be religious or have a ritual. He wanted a relationship with me. I found out that he had a future for me. He had a plan for me. He wanted to bless me. Where'd you find that out, preacher? In the Bible. See, if I really have the initiative, if I really want to change, if I'm really serious, that I'm going to search the Scriptures for myself, I'm going to get in there, because when I get in there, then that's where I will find Jesus. And I'll find out. I'm going to give you homework now. January New Year's resolution is begin to read the Gospels. I don't even know what they are, Pastor. They're in the New Testament. We call them Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're the same account, but from a different perspective. Same account, but of a different perspective. We call them the Gospels. And they talk about the life of Christ. So you'll find out about Jesus if you start reading Matthew 1, January 1. And in the spring, just make it a goal. We need new goals, new year. Make it a goal. I'm going to read the Gospels because I'm going to find out what Christ was like, Jesus was like, how he treated people, how he loved people, forgave people, healed people, restored people, set people free, believed in people, hung out with the down and outers and the up and outers. He hung out with poor people, and he hung out with the richest people in the land. You do know that, right? He was to all men and women a savior. He came for nations. He didn't come for a nation. He didn't come for white people or black people or brown people or red people or rich people or poor people. He came for people. He came for nations, the Bible says. So the purpose of Christmas is this. Number one is that we would know God. Jesus came to show us what God was like. Number one is to know God and to have a relationship with God. Let me give you a scripture for that. Jeremiah, let's go there, guys. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Now, here's what the Bible says. We got to have the initiative and the drive that if we really want to know God, if we want to find out how good God is and that God is for us, not against us, he has a future and a plan for our life, and it's the best plan, it's better than our plan, it was better than my plan, then what's the priority? The Lord says we shouldn't boast about our wisdom, our degrees, our education. We shouldn't boast about our strength, our ability, our gift, our talent, our personality. We shouldn't boast in our wealth, our portfolio, our investments. No, what should we boast in, Lord? Next verse. You shouldn't boast in that. If you're going to boast, boast that you know God. Boast that you know and understand God. Wow. So that should be our ambition, aspiration, our drive, our quest, our direction of our life. We were made to know God. We were made to know God. We were created to know God. Oh, my goodness. And once you know that God is for you, wow. Church isn't boring. Christianity isn't boring. Serving God isn't boring. Once you know God's not against you, that God's not holding our transgressions or our struggles or our sins or our habits, our hang-ups, our he's not holding that hostage in our life. He came to set us free. He didn't come to condemn the world. He didn't come to condemn the world. Oh, Christians, religions, they condemn people. But Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. Jesus came to save the world. It's amazing. It's amazing. Here's what I know. People who have the wrong perspective of God don't want to know God. People who have the wrong perspective of God don't have any desire to know God or go to church or plug into a community at a local church or serve in that church, give, worship, praise, help, get involved in a small. They have no desire. Why? They have the wrong picture of God. They think God's out to keep them from having fun. But God's a big old meanie with long white hair and a big cane. He's going to knock you in the head when you make a mistake. That God doesn't relate. They have all this misconceptions. Jesus came to erase our misconceptions of what God is really like. That's what he did. That's what he did. So this is what we should do. Our quest should be to know God and to do what is just. Know that God's love is constant. I love that. Know that God's love is constant. So I told you three things. Number one, the purpose of Christmas, Jesus came that we would know God, know him as he really is, erase all the misconceptions, and that we'd have a relationship with him. Number two is that we would enjoy him. Enjoy God? Man, church is a drag for me. You don't know God. Living for Christians, I tried that stuff. Well, you tried it the wrong way. Because I've been doing it for 55 years, and it gets sweeter every day. Those that know their God will be strong and do exploits. Oh, those who know their God, they know that he has a plan for their life. Their future is bigger than their past. As Oprah said, in God, she said, in God, your future's so bright, you need sunglasses. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So notice, to enjoy God. Now, let's go back, guys, to that scripture where we were at, please. Because my love is constant. See, a lot of reasons why. Now I want to talk to Christians. I was first talking to un-Christians. Now I'm talking to Christians. The reason why I was so unhappy in 1975 when I was a Christian, because I had struggles in my life. I had anger in my life, bitterness in my life. I had stuff I was carrying in my spirit that was blocking my fellowship with God. And oh, I was a Christian, but I was a sourpuss Christian. I was a Sunday Christian, not a Monday Christian. I had one foot in the world and one foot in the church. I was a chameleon. Why was that? Why couldn't I enjoy God? Where was the joy of the Lord that Christmas is supposed to bring? I didn't have it because I didn't have fellowship. Oh, I had relationship, but I didn't have fellowship. I had relationship, but I didn't have fellowship. You all know what I'm talking about. You got relatives that you hope don't come to see you at Christmas and fellowship. But yeah, you're related to those rascals, but you just don't want to fellowship with them. Come on now, be honest, lie or fry, one or the other. So it's true. Same thing with God. We can be a Christian and miserable. We can be related to God, have a relationship with God, know God, experience God, but not enjoy God. Now, whose fault is that? Moi. It's ours. Because life is hard, and things tend to attach themselves to us the longer we walk on this journey. Hurts, offenses, rape, incest, alcoholism, drug addiction, depression, all the above, prejudice, bigotry, disappointment, persecution, resistance. It happens to all of us, my brother and sister. It happens to all of us, my newfound friend. And if we don't know what to do with it, we get harder, we get bitter, our skin gets thicker, We become judgmental. We become critical. We attack. We have anger and rage because we're carrying stuff on the inside of our spirit. That's why we can't enjoy God. I'm talking to Christians now. I was talking to non-Christians. Now I'm talking to Christians. And so what we need to do is what I had to do in 1975. I was a Christian. I got born again at 11. I grew up in the church, but I wasn't happy. And in 1975, October, I said, God, I'm supposed to enjoy you. I'm supposed to enjoy Christianity, going to church, being in the family of God, being in a community. Why aren't I? Because I had all kinds of stuff on the inside that I shouldn't be carrying. He carried it for me on the cross. I shouldn't be carrying it. So that Sunday morning, I ran to the altar and I repented. I'm a Christian, but I repented. Repent means to change your mind, go in a new direction. I said, God, I want to enjoy you. I want to enjoy church. I want to enjoy the Christian community. God, I want to know. I want to experience that you are really for me and you have a future for me. You have a purpose for me. God, then I give you my hurt, my hang-up, the wounds, the scars, the mars, the mistakes, the disappointments, the resistance, the persecution. All of it, God, it's yours. Everything changed that morning. Everything changed that morning. With one prayer. And so then I begin to enjoy the Lord. Because doesn't the Bible say in his presence? But see, if I don't know how to get in his presence, if I got unconfessed sin, bitterness, anger, offense, judgmental, critical, prejudice, bigotry, angry, playing games with God, that blocks his presence. That blocks my fellowship with him. And it's in his fellowship you and I enjoy him. Story from the Bible. David, King David. You've heard of him, right? King David. And you know, what did he do? He committed adultery and murder and Bathsheba and killed her husband and did all those things. And then what did he do? He did what I did in 1975. And maybe some of you here today and those watching online, you need to do to get your joy back and enjoy God and enjoy church and enjoy raising your family up in the house of the Lord. What did he do? He said, God, I repent. This is David in the book of Psalms. He said, God, I repent. Restore. Restore to me back, not salvation, but the joy of my salvation. Now, I'm not talking to non-believers. I've already talked to you about how important it is to know God. And if you don't have initiative to know God because you got the wrong picture of God. But now I'm talking to Christians who aren't enjoying God. How you can get the joy back. Wow, and you can't wait to get to church and serve and give and share your faith and talk about Christ because you got a relationship that's on fire. It's flourishing. It's fruitful. Wow, your trust, you're not putting your faith in man. You've got your faith in God. And God will never disappoint you. That's what I found out. God will never disappoint you. Come on, let's don't pat a cake. It's Christmas. Give him the gift of praise. So next verse, and I forgot where I was at. Where was I? Revelation? Oh, Jeremiah. Okay, Jeremiah. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I sure do love y'all. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 21. Now, this is the most important. No, my girlfriend is. No, she's not. No, my boyfriend is. No, he's not. No, my kids, they're the most important. No, they're not. No, my job. No, it's not. No, my house. No. You say, oh, yeah, it is. Well, if you think it is, you'll regret it in the future. Yeah. Big time you'll regret it. Because I'm teaching the word, and what does the word say? This is the most important thing in life. Right here. Right here. This is it. What is it? Some of these people have missed the most important thing in life. Well, what is it, God? They don't know God. What's the most important thing? Why did Jesus come? What's the purpose of Christmas? He came. He left heaven. He was all God, but he took on the form of man. He humbled himself, Philippians says, so that he could live as an example to erase all the wrong conceptions and pictures of God. And so he could show us what God is really like. God is love. God forgives. God accepts. God blesses. God places. God gives. God directs. God will never leave us. God will never disappoint us. Where's that at, preacher? Romans 9, verse 33 in the Bible. Search the scriptures. It says God will never disappoint those who put their trust and faith in him. Wow. So the three points are, number one, the purpose of Christmas, he came that we might know God. And those who don't like church and God and Christians, they have the wrong conception, perception, picture. They've been taught wrong. They believe wrong. They see wrong. Jesus came to right the wrong so we could see what God was really like. Number two, so we could enjoy God. Enjoy God. And then number three, so we could live out the life that he has for us. Live out the life that he has for us. And that's number three. And that's John chapter 10, verse 10. I want to live out the life that God has for me. Not the life that man has for me. Because man always thinks too small concerning me. Man doesn't see the potential in me. And as your pastor, I don't want you to live out your life according to what anybody else has predestined, has thought, given you their opinion of who you can be and what you can do. I want you to discover God's plan, his life for you. Because man, even me, I'll think too small. Even though I see your potential, I try to bring it out every weekend, I'm still thinking too small. Because those who know their God, they'll be strong. And they'll do exploits. John 10:10. Oh, this is the life he wants us to live. Jesus said, look at the highlighted words as the team comes out. I came. What'd you come for, Jesus? What's the purpose of Christmas? I came. Come back at Christmas Eve. We're going to read the Christmas story. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be different. It's going to be great. I came. Why'd you come, Jesus? That you might have and enjoy life. Why are so many Christians not enjoying life? Why are so many unbelievers don't even want to know God? They don't know the real purpose of Christmas. He said, I came that you might have life, enjoy life, and that you might have it to the abundance till the what? Overflows. Wow. Jesus came so that we could not only know God, enjoy God, but find the freedom, get delivered. And we have a ministry every Thursday night called Celebrate Recovery. Not judgmental or condemning. People come and they're getting set free. Christian and non-Christian. So they can enjoy God. We care. God knows the struggles we're going through. God knows the struggles that you and I go through today, even before he saved us. And he still saved us. Think about that. His love is constant. And then to discover his purpose for our life. What is what? An abundant life. I remember years ago, everybody say, not in this church. But I was pastoring another church, and it was a religious church, and I was trying to help them. And it was run by a deacon board. And one of the deacons had a car lot. And I'm a car guy. I've been a car guy since I was 14 years old. My first car at 14 was a 1957 Chevy Black. Took it, did some work on it, turned around, doubled my money. I said, aha, this might be part of my gifting. See things as they can become. And not as they are. So I've been a car guy all my life, and I'm still a car guy, classic car guy, And I was looking for a car, and this car salesman who was a deacon at our church, great guy, wonderful guy, but thought small. I was trying to help him get a right picture of God, but trying to help him think big. And he knew I was looking for a car. He said, come on over to my car lot, preacher, and I'll help you find a car. So we go over to his car lot, and he has this, you probably wouldn't know what it is, but it was a racing version of a special kind of a car. Actually, it was a Volvo, but it only made it a couple years. So cool. And I said, how much is that car right there? Oh, that's way too much for a preacher. Now, he's on my deacon board. He said, that's way too much for a preacher. And he says, here's what you need. And he took me over to the other side of the lot, a station wagon. Did y'all know what a station wagon is? That not real, fake wood See how he was thinking? Small. Little. Trying to put me in a box. Trying to make me somebody I'm not. I'm so glad at Church on the Rock, as long as I pastor, we don't put people in a box. We try to get them out of a box. Come on, give the Lord a good praise.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.